It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Thursday morning to you. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians, making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well, including all my volunteer air traffic control workers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night FedEx pilots out there as well, too. I didn't forget about y'all. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. All my local 613 IBEW workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, all my early morning, late night local hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. All my early morning, late night mailmen, mailwomen, postal workers out there, making sure that people get their mail and packages in a safe and timely fashion as well. All my early morning, late night local donor makers, all my local funeral home workers, and of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. 5:02 here, almost 5:03 on a Thursday morning. Got over the hump yesterday, and we are downhill to the weekend party, people. And I hope you all are having a great Thursday. I appreciate you starting your Thursday off with me, and I hope it's gotten started off right for you. But plenty of things to get into here this morning. And first and foremost, unfortunately, we have to start on a somber note. But I think it is only right to start on this note, and that is talking about the passing of CNN founder, a pioneer in cable TV, and former Braves owner Ted Turner, unfortunately passing away at the age of 87 yesterday. Now, I will say this. I obviously didn't get to really experience the Ted Turner days of the Braves, and I wish I would have been able to experience that live. And well, I was born in 1996, 30 years old. So I was really born in the golden age of Braves baseball. And it's definitely something you hear about and want to know all about, but it would have just been so much better if, you know, that's one of the things you wish you were alive for and you were able to experience in real time and understand what was going on in real time. Cause you know, as a baby, I didn't know, you know, the Braves being so dominant and what exactly Ted Turner was doing for the Braves and the city of Atlanta and cable television overall. So just that definitely was something, it is something I wish I would have been able to experience and know at the time it was going on, what was going on. Because it don't hit the same going back and hearing about it. Obviously, it's still cool and great to hear all the stories, and it makes you understand the importance of Ted Turner to the city of Atlanta, the importance of Ted Turner to the Atlanta Braves. But it's still something you wish you would have been able to understand and know what was happening in real time. So, again, even though don't have, again, a lot of experience and have a lot of knowledge about that time, again, firsthand as far as being alive for it, you still know the impact of what Ted Turner meant to Atlanta, meant to the Braves. So he will definitely be missed, and you wish that Braves could have maybe got, you know, more than one during his time as owner, but man, they were fun times as being a Braves fan and during that Ted Turner era, and he definitely set the Braves up for all the success that they're having now and put them in position to be one of the most well-known teams, have one of the best fan bases in baseball. That was all because of Ted Turner. All because of him and the superstation he made, obviously, with TBS and making the Braves as popular, being, you know, being that owner that was never afraid to invest in the team and put the necessary money into the team. And so, man, just an amazing person, an amazing mind. And you just, again, man, we're all going to miss him, but he will never, ever be forgotten. So just want to give condolences to his family, his friends, and his loved ones. And just say thank you to Ted Turner for making Braves baseball, CNN and TBS and the city of Atlanta, making what it is today and having the impact that he had on all those things. So thank you to Ted Turner, and may he rest in peace. So again, never want to really start on a somber note, especially at 5:07 a.m., but it definitely felt right because of what Ted Turner meant to the Braves and the city of Atlanta. But speaking of the Atlanta Braves, it finally happened. It finally happened. We knew it was eventually going to happen. We were holding out hope that maybe, just maybe, they could keep it going. But the Braves did lose the rubber match against the Seattle Mariners yesterday, and the Braves have now lost their first series of the season. They were 10-0-1 in their series leading up to this. Now 10-1-1 when it comes to the series this season. And look, it's fine. I would much rather the Braves lose this series against an AL team that is not really going to have that many consequences. And I would rather see them go out and bounce back and win this upcoming series against the Dodgers. An NL team that if you keep playing the way you are, you're most likely going to be able to see them in the NLCS if you keep playing the way you're playing right now. If you can keep that going throughout the entirety of the season. And again, I know it's early, so I'm not trying to jump to conclusions. But regardless, I think winning the series against the Dodgers is a lot more important than winning this series against the Mariners. You win this series against the Dodgers, you're making a statement to Major League Baseball saying, hey, we're here and we're here to stay. I know we had a down year last year, and I know all of you MLB analysts and talking heads counted us out, but we back. And we back, and we're ready to compete at the highest level. And the other thing about it is, too, if you go out and win this series against the Dodgers, nobody's going to remember that you lost that series against the Mariners. I certainly won't care. I'd be like, bump that series against the Mariners. We just beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3. I'm feeling good about that. I'm not worried about this Mariners series. Now, if you drop this series against the Dodgers, which I don't even want to speak that into existence, then you're like, okay, we're hitting a little bit of a rough patch here. We gotta bounce back. But this was a tougher West Coast road trip. You know, you handled your business against the Rockies, swept them. But the Mariners and the Dodgers, obviously two teams that expect to be playoff teams, especially obviously the Dodgers. So it's not like this is an easy 6-game stretch. We can talk about the two series against the Mariners and the Dodgers by any stretch of the imagination. But again, bounce back, go handle your business against the Dodgers, and everything will be all right. And you got a pretty good Pitching rotation going up against the Dodgers. He got Chris Sale going tomorrow. Then Spencer Strider on Saturday. Bryce Elder on Sunday. So you feel good about the guys you're throwing out there for this Dodger series. And you just hope that the offense can come around, because the offense is now kind of, they kind of skidded a little bit here in the Mariners series. Not a whole lot, but you only get one run yesterday, three runs in game two. You did score four in game one, but you scored so many dang runs against the Rockies out there in Coors Field. You know, and then now you've started to cool off a little bit offensively, you know, scoring four in game one, three in game two, and now just one in the series finale yesterday against the Mariners. So hopefully the offense can heat right back up out there in L.A., and hopefully, again, you just take two out of three. It'd be amazing if you get the sweep, but just take two out of three, and you'll feel good about it. Like I said, you got Chris Sale going against Emmett Sheehan tomorrow, and that is who you want on the mound to start the series against the Dodgers. Make a statement, get the game one victory, and get off to the right foot in this series, because I feel like you go win game one. Again, it's not really any crazy amount of pressure, but I feel like you win game one, you do put a little bit of pressure on the Dodgers, press them a little bit, put a little pressure on them, and see if you can go get game two. So again, Chris Sale on the mound for game one tomorrow. First pitch set for 10 p.m. Then Spencer Strider will be on the mound against Roky Sasaki in game two of the series. Hopefully Spencer Strider can have a little bit better of an second outing than he did in his debut. Again, wasn't necessarily bad in his debut. Showed flashes, but was definitely inconsistent. Command wasn't as strong as you would want it to be from Spencer Strider. And then game three, as I told you, Bryce Elder against Justin Robleski. Robleski has been really good this year, like Bryce Elder. Robleski 5-0 on the year, 1.25 ERA, one whip in 36 innings pitched for Robleski, and he has yet to give up a home run this season. So hopefully the Braves can change that on Sunday, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Bryce Elder obviously been good this year too, so should be some fun pitching matchups and just a fun matchup overall. Two of the best teams in baseball, and you just hope the series lives up to the hype, as you know, this is going to be the biggest measuring stick test for the Braves that they've had all season long when you talk about taking on the Dodgers. And again, this could be an NLCS preview. We'll see. But at the end of the day, as long as the Braves win two out of three, I don't necessarily care how it looks. Other good news when it comes to the Braves, looks like Money Michael Harris is fully back to being in the field every day. Was in left field again yesterday, and then it is definitely looking like he could be in center field against the Dodgers for that Dodgers series coming up tomorrow. So that is good news. It looked like that issue he was having with his quad is all squared away. And hopefully, you know, you can get the bat of Sean Murphy going now that he's been back. And you got Rysel back. So got some pieces back. And you just hope that now you can go to work against the Bravos. You wish, obviously, you had Ronnie. But Braves offense, when you talk about Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies, Drake Baldwin, Austin Riley, hopefully they can all have a good series and put up some runs against this L.A. team. And again, send a message to the rest of the MLB and be like, yeah, we know y'all counted us out after last year, but guess what? We back. And we're ready for some revenge. Looking for revenge. All summer 26. All right. When we come back here on Hometown Take, we will dive into what happened last night in the NBA playoffs. Knicks didn't blow out the 76ers, but they still did get the win. But last night made me feel still pretty good about the 76ers' chances to at least make this a series. We'll talk about that next. And man, San Antonio, talking about looking for revenge. Woo-hoo-wee. They was looking for some revenge last night, and they got it. That's the Wemby that we all know and expected. We'll talk about what went down last night in a pair of game twos in the NBA playoffs. Coming up next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Your first look at the Atlanta sports scene every weekday morning. This is the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. Hope y'all are doing well. I appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Once you got that free Odyssey app downloaded on your smartphone and all your smart devices, you want to make sure you search for the radio station 92.9 The Game. Once you find the radio station, follow and subscribe to the station and follow and subscribe to all the great shows on the station as well. My show, obviously, The Hometown Take, The Morning Shift, The Steakhouse, The Midday Show with Andy and Randy Dukes and Bell, Chris Thomas tonight. All the great shows during the weeknight as well. The Night Drive on Mondays with my guy Dom Chirosky. Prep Sports Nation on Wednesday nights with my guy Damian Day-Day Lewis. The Intersection with my girl Noelle White and Jason Longshore on Thursday nights. And then follow all and subscribe to all the great shows on the weekend as well, too. Sam and Greg from the Diamond with Graham McCauley. College football game time, all of them. Follow them, subscribe to them. Once you do that, then you'll really be in the game because then you'll get live push notifications about when shows go live. You'll get live push notifications about when shows are having guests on live. You'll be able to go back and listen to your favorite segments and interviews from your favorite shows. You'll be able to go back and listen to your favorite shows in their entirety. And you also get live push notifications about when new audio and articles uploaded to the website as well. All that and more with the free Odyssey app. So download that thing on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. We're going to get into the NBA playoffs. Pretty simple. There was one good game last night and one absolute blowout. But it was the Knicks in the good game. They weren't blowing anybody out last night. They did not blow out the Philadelphia 76ers again after winning back-to-back-to-back games by at least 25 points and two games in a row by at least 39 points or something ridiculous like that. Knicks finally came down to earth, but they still did win. 108-102 was the final score last night, and you had to think at some point their three-point shooting was going to level out, and man, did it level out last night. They was having a hard time hitting the broadside of a barn last night from three-point range. Shot well from the field, 51%, but they were only 7 of 26 from three-point land, and that's definitely what helped the Knicks not pull away and allow the 76ers to stay in it. But the 76ers played a good game as well, too, especially considering that they did not have Joel Embiid last night. Woke up yesterday with a sore ankle and sore hip. And so, you know, unfortunately, that's one of those things for the 76ers. They got a big man who is, at this stage in his career, he is, I hate to put it this way, but injury prone. And he's had so much wear and tear on his body to this point that I don't know if he'll be able to play every game of this series. And that could end up being the downfall of the 76ers. We'll see. But kudos to them for putting up a good fight. Last night, there were 25 lead changes in this game. There was not a lead bigger than 6 in this game. So the 76ers are right there going punch for punch, blow for blow with the 76ers. And, oh, by the way, the 25 lead changes were the most since the Spurs and Clippers combined for 31 lead changes on May 2nd back in 2015. So, yeah, this was a heck of a game. Very good playoff game to watch. What this, last night's game between the Knicks and 76ers is what you envision when you think of playoff basketball. Just good back-and-forth basketball. Got some good offense, but it wasn't like no defense. 108-102, like, you know, in today's NBA, that's a fairly good score, meaning, again, plenty of offense still, but some good defense played as well, too. It wasn't just any Matador defense. Oh, hey, guys going up and down the court just scoring at will. That was some quality basketball we got between the Knicks and 76ers last night. I do have to admit that. That was a quality game. For the Knicks, it was Jalen Brunson that led the way with 26, but OG Anunoby was right there with 24. Karl-Anthony Towns had 20 and 10. Karl-Anthony Towns had a real good game. 6 of 8 from the field, 10 rebounds. He, look, This is something we talked about in the Hawks and Knicks series. Karl-Anthony Towns is going to give people problems if he decides that he wants to be a real, real big man and work in the post. And he decided to do that with Joel Embiid out last night, and he was darn efficient. 20 points, 6 of 8 from the field, 1 of 1 from 3, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. That was a really good night from Karl-Anthony Towns. OG Anunoby continues to do his thing. Again, wasn't quite as hot from the three-point line, but again, 9 of 17 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3, 5 rebounds, 24 points for him. Mikal Bridges having a bounce-back series after laying some eggs, some bad eggs too, against the Atlanta Hawks. He had 18 points in 38 minutes, 9 of 13 from the field. Did go over 0-2 from 3, but had 5 rebounds as well, 2 assists, so that was good. Not anything too crazy from the Knicks bench, but Jordan Clarkson gave him 6. Alvarado hit a 3. Miles McBride gave him 4. And you also saw Ariel Hukporti in there, and he gave him 2 points in 7 minutes. So that was what that was. But again, it was quality basketball. Paul George continues to play well for the 76ers. He had 19 points. He had 5 threes. Wasn't super efficient from 3. 5 of 13 from the 3-point line. Not great, but was what it was. Kelly Oubre had 19. Tyrese Maxey had 26. VJ Edgecombe had 17. They only had a 8-man rotation. Dominic Barlow, former Hawk, he did go 3 from 3 from the field. Bona, their backup big man with Joel Embiid out, only had 2. The Andre Drummond did get the start. He had 6 points and 8 rebounds. Quinn Grimes off the bench had 7 points. So, look, even though the Knicks probably are going to win this series and probably advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, depending on what happens with Joel Embiid, I can see the 76ers maybe pushing this to 6 with the series going back to Philly now for the next 2 games. We'll see how Joel Embiid is feeling. I think if he plays in both of these games, I give the 76ers a, just for kicks and giggles, a 76% chance to tie this series up. But legit, they do have a chance to tie it up. I think they figured some things out last game, and then if they add Joel Embiid to that mix, I do think they have a really good chance at winning last night if Joel Embiid plays. But we'll see how it all shapes out. But right now, Knicks got a 2-0 series lead as that series is now going to shift to Philly game three tomorrow on a Friday. And we'll see if the 76ers can put things at 2-1 and make it a series, or if the Knicks will go up 3-0. Knicks go up 3-0. I think they're going to get the sweep because they'll smell blood in the water, and I think they'll definitely get a closeout. I know it's hard, but I would see the Knicks closing it out if they go up 3-0. So we'll see what happens. We had an absolute blowout last night in the other playoff game. It is the Hometown Take, by the way, with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning talking a little NBA playoffs. The Spurs absolutely dominated the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. 133-95, the final score. And Anthony Edwards came off the bench again and gave them 24 minutes, had 12 points, 5 of 13 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3. And look, just for the Timberwolves, didn't shoot all that well, 40% from the field, 30% from 3. Julius Randle only had 12 points. Jaden McDaniels only had 12, 6 of 10. Randle was 4 of 10. And look, between Julius Randle, Jaden McDaniels, Michael Conley, and Anthony Edwards, 2 threes between all of those guys. 2 threes. Naz Reid was hot. He gave him 11 points off the bench. He was 3 or 4 from 3. Joe Ingles, it was kind of in garbage time, though, hit 2 threes. So even 5 out of the 9 threes that they hit, really 6 out of the 9 threes that they hit were like garbage time threes. So that was what it was. De'Aaron Fox and Wemby on the other side. Stephon Castle, too. Really, all their starters had really good nights. And they shot the ball very well, the Spurs did. 50% from the field, 41% from 3. Julian Champagne, 12 points, 4-6 from the field, 4-6 from 3. Victor Wembanyama still shot a lot of threes, but again, with it being a blowout, you can kind of understand that. But he had 19 points, 7 of 15 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3, 15 rebounds. And if you're wondering, not 12 blocks this time, just 2 blocks in this game after having 12 in game 1. De'Aaron Fox, 16 minutes, gave, or excuse me, 26 minutes, gave him 16 points. And he had a good shooting night, 5 of 10 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3. Stephon Castle, the Georgia boy, the Georgia native, 21 points in 24 minutes, 6 of 10 from the field. And you got outshot if you were the Timberwolves. And the Spurs honestly dominated that game from the jump. And again, you didn't expect, Wemby kind of got, he had a very slow start to game 1. That was not the case for last night's game 2. They got off to a hot start, and they did not look back after getting out to a big lead, and that game got ugly quick. So, but if you're the Timberwolves, mission accomplished, though. Again, the best thing the Timberwolves can do is forget about that game. Just, whoop, out of sight, out of mind. Wipe your hands of it. Throw away the film. I mean, you're not going to completely throw away the film because it's a playoff game, you know, but still. Take away whatever you can take away from that game, then rid it of your mind and move on to game 3, because you accomplished what you needed to accomplish in San Antonio, and that was get one game and shift the home court advantage to you. Get home court advantage. That's exactly what they did, and they should still even after getting blown out last night, which, again, is never good. You never want that to happen. It's never fun. But you did exactly what you wanted to do in San Antonio, which was get a game, take home court advantage, and now if you can protect home court in Minnesota, you're feeling pretty darn good about where you're going to be. And you're feeling pretty darn good about taking down the Spurs and advancing to the next round. So we'll see. But this could also give the Spurs some momentum, so going to be interesting to see how that series continues to play out. At game 3 of that series again on Friday tomorrow, along with game 3 of Knicks and 76ers. Pair game 2s tonight. Pistons at home to take on the Cavaliers. Pistons got the win in game number 1. See if they can continue to protect home court or if the Cavs can steal one in Detroit. And then you got Lakers Thunder game 2. We'll see if the Lakers put up a better fight than they did in game 1. Wasn't really all that close at all in game 1. Probably no Luka again. It seems like Luka not coming back until the series shifts to LA for either game. So maybe game 3, maybe game 4. By that time, though, might be too little too late. We'll see. But pair game 2s tonight. Cavaliers Pistons on Amazon Prime Video. Lakers Thunder's on Prime Video as well. Cavaliers and Pistons get tipped off at 7 o'clock. Lakers Thunder at 9:30. All right. When we come back here on the Hometown Take, we will get into some NFL headlines here. One GM and head coach duo had something to say about one of their cornerstone players. We'll let you hear that next. And one QB has a decision to make. We'll get into it next here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Your first look at the Atlanta sports scene every weekday morning. This is the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. All the way downhill to the weekend. Got over the hump yesterday. And now we are looking the weekend almost practically right in the face. I appreciate you getting your Thursday started off with your boy. I hope you're having a great start to your Thursday. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Been talking about a few things today. Obviously, to kick off the show, we had to talk about and pay our respects to the late, great Ted Turner, founder of CNN, pioneer when it comes to cable television, creator of the superstation TBS and obviously former Braves owner. And he passed away, unfortunately, at the age of 87 yesterday. And look, just talked about it earlier how I wasn't aware I was alive, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't understanding as a child. You know, I was born in 1996, so I was born in the glory days, the golden age of Braves baseball, and wasn't all the way sure of what was going on and, you know, just wasn't aware just because of how young I was of the greatness that we were witnessing and seeing and, you know, wasn't aware at that time of how important and influential and great Ted Turner was and how much he meant to the Braves and the city of Atlanta. So, again, just if there's anything, I wish I would have, you know, been older during that time just to be able to really take that in as it was happening. But still, it is all good. And, you know, you just go back and watch videos and hear things about Ted Turner and the man he was and just know he's going to be missed but never forgotten. So rest in peace to Ted Turner and nothing but condolences and love to his family, friends, and loved ones as well. So definitely going to be missing Ted Turner and remembering him. Remembered him all day long on the station and had people come on and talk about him and, again, give all the great stories and things of that nature. So just, again, nothing but condolences to him and his family and just grateful that he was here and he did what he did for the Braves and made them into the team they are now with one of the largest fan bases, not just in baseball, but in just sports, period. And you're grateful for, again, him investing in the team the way he did and doing all the things that he did to put the Braves on the map the way they are right now and set them up for the success that they're having right now too as well. So, again, just can't say enough good things about Ted Turner. When it comes to the Braves as well, I also got some bad news yesterday. Not only the Ted Turner news, but they also lost their first series of the year last year after losing to the Seattle Mariners in their rubber match, 3-1. Ozzie Albies had his 17-game hit streak snapped, and it wasn't a bad outing from Martin Perez. Just you couldn't just some timely hits by the Mariners, and you really couldn't get any timely hits yesterday if you were the Braves. Only able to get one run on the board. And again, Martin Perez, 5 2/3 innings pitched, only gave up 5 hits, 2 runs, both of them earned, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Did give up a solo shot to Julio Rodriguez, but other than that, he wasn't bad. And the other run he gave up, it was off of a double play. They scored off a double play, so it's not like he was getting really hit hard besides the home run. So it was a good outing for Martin Perez. Again, just the Braves couldn't do anything. They left 4 guys on base, only had 1 runner in scoring position all game, and it was Austin Riley. Austin Riley didn't get the hit, was the guy who was 0-1 with runners in scoring position, but only had 4 base runners or left 4 guys on base all game long. Drake Baldwin, Mauricio Dubon, Yastrzemski, and Sean Murphy were the only guys to get hits yesterday. He only had 4 hits total, again, coming from Baldwin, Dubon, Yastrzemski, and Sean Murphy. So it was good to see Sean Murphy get a hit, and hopefully he can get going. But just one of those games where you didn't have it offensively, and it didn't take much for the other team offensively to get the win. And so that's just kind of where it was. And, you know, you're going to have those games where you don't score 5, 6, 7, 8 runs and, you know, you just can't get that timely hit and can't get the offense going, can't have that one big inning that you would like to have. So just one of those games for the Braves. But look, it is what it is. We knew the Braves weren't going to win every single series this season. And now just shift your focus to the Dodgers. That's who you got coming up tomorrow. You start a 3-game weekend series with them. And look, I will be just fine if the Braves, you know, after losing this series, go in to L.A. and take care of business and win 2 out of 3 there. I won't even remember this Seattle series. So as long as they take care of business against the Dodgers, you're going to be feel good. You're going to be feeling good about what they are able to do during this West Coast road trip. Because again, you swept Colorado. You did lose 2 out of 3 here against Seattle, but if you end up winning 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, that's still a, what at that point, 6. You would go 6-2. 6-2 if you win, and that's just if you win the series. You can, 6-3, I'm sorry, 6-3. This is a 9-game West Coast road trip. Sorry, math is hard at 5:48 a.m. But you would go 6-3 if you just win this series and take 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. I'll take a 6-3 West Coast road trip all day, every day, twice on Sunday. And again, these past 6 games, the Rockies are improving, but still not a great team, especially compared to, you know, the Braves and what they have talent wise and where they're at as a team. But Mariners are supposed to be a pretty good team, playoff type team, playoff caliber team. And then we know the Dodgers got our World Series aspirations, looking to go back to back to back as the 2-time reigning World Series champions, trying to make it 3 in a row. So it is, in these past 6 games, you end up winning 4 of the 6. Feel pretty darn good about that. So, or 3 of the 6, I should say. You feel all right about taking, you know, half of those. So we'll see what the Braves can get done, but they will start that series against the Dodgers tomorrow. They have a much needed day off today, and then you'll have Chris Sale on the mound against the Dodgers tomorrow. He'll be going up against Emmett Sheehan. And then Saturday, you're going to have Spencer Strider making his 2nd start of the season, going up against Roky Sasaki. And then Sunday, you'll have the Elder Statesman, Bryce Elder, going up against Justin Robleski. So it should be some pretty good pitching matchups. Bryce Elder, Robleski 5-0 on the year, 1.25 ERA. He's been good all year. Bryce Elder has done nothing but give you quality starts in every single appearance. On Saturday, you'll have a pitching matchup between Strider and Sasaki against two guys who have struggled so far this year. Again, more of a, obviously a bigger sample size for Sasaki. He's 1-3 on the year, 5.97 ERA, 1.67 whip, and 28 2/3 innings. Strider obviously just made his debut against the Colorado Rockies just a few days ago. So he's only pitched 3 1/3 innings so far. And then tomorrow night, you'll have a really good one between Chris Sale and Emmett Sheehan. Sale 6-1, 2.14 ERA, 0.90 whip, and 42 innings pitched. And Sheehan's been all right in his own respect, 2-1, 5.23 ERA, though. So hopefully the Braves can get some runs on the board against him. He does have a 1.32 whip and 31 innings pitched. He's given up 6 home runs this year, so maybe the Braves can get some long balls going against Sheehan, but we shall see. All right, it is Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning, as I do want to get into just a few NFL headlines here while we got a few minutes left on the program, and got a couple of different things to get into. One being, there's a new development in the Mike Vrabel, Diana Russini saga. So the rumor on the street is that Diana Russini's husband now wants a DNA test for their child, because he thinks there is a possibility it could be Mike Vrabel's. And if you look at the timeline, it's not out of the realm of possibilities at all.
And this is the child named Michael, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the child that is also named Michael. It ain't looking good, but dog, it ain't looking good. It is not looking good. And if, man, and again, I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend to know. But if it comes out that, if it comes out that that's Mike Vrabel's kid, good night. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be like one of them daytime shows, man. The drama is real. And look, I'm not trying to be insensitive about this situation, but, I mean, this would be crazy. This would be absolutely nuts. So we'll see how it plays out. I don't even want to speculate, but goodness. Drake May did come to the defense of Mike Vrabel and called Vrabel a great human being and said he doesn't believe the coach's off-field issues will be a distraction for the defending AFC champions this upcoming season. He said, quote, "I mean, he's our head coach. I think he's done a great job of talking to us and talking us through it. I'm just looking forward to getting back to work and getting ready." That's when Drake May spoke to the Associated Press yesterday following the Truist Championship Pro-Am in Charlotte, in which he was paired with TGA Pro Tour golfer Gary Woodland on the back nine at Quail Hollow. And, yeah, we'll see. We'll just see how that plays out. We do have a QB who has to make a decision. Russell Wilson says he's weighing an offer from the Jets and also network television. So Wilson, 37 years old, visited the Jets last week to discuss the possibility of becoming Geno Smith's backup. Wilson told the New York Post that it was great as far as the visit with the Jets goes. He said, quote, "They offered me, and I'm trying to figure out what the next best thing is for me to do. I still know I can play ball at a high level, but I also have the opportunity to do TV, so we'll see what happens." So we'll see how that plays out. And then James Gladstone, Liam Cohen, GM and head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, did say, they both said that Travis Hunter, not done playing both sides of the ball. So still expect Travis Hunter to be wide receiver and CB for the Jaguars. And look, I feel like at some point he's going to play just one, but he's going into what year? This is going to be year two for Travis Hunter. He still got it in him to where he can go both sides. So we'll see how long it lasts, but I'm not mad at them, at least for right now, bringing, you know, it's only year two. And he did have an injury, yes, but you still got to see how much you can get out of that. So we'll see how it plays out. All right, that is my time. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Morning Shift coming up next. Allie Mack's back in the building. The point guard of the Morning Shift is back, ready to distribute that thing and do her thing alongside Mike Johnson and Bo Squid Billy Morgan. Morning Shift back in full form here on a Thursday. They're coming up next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Until I talk to y'all tomorrow on a Friday, Noel, I appreciate you. Y'all have a great day. Peace.